Heavenly Father, as we transition from worship and we look at your word, I pray that you would speak to us, spirit to spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would literally deposit your word in our hearts so that more than just head knowledge or more than just a neat preach or something that's interesting, that the word of God would literally cause change inside us and then bring that change to our lives and to lives around us. Lord, we welcome you as our friend and our Father, as we sang today. We welcome you to have your way inside us. Have your way deep inside us and through us and around us. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the one and only risen Savior. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated. That was awesome, worship team. Good job. Really appreciate it today. Thank you, Alex, helping out on drums today. That was good. So before we release the kids, the children's church, by the way, today, the kids are going down the basement. They got a big thing going on down there for today. But first off, I need one volunteer, one young volunteer, to help me out in doing something today. Come on up, Silas. Perfect. You're the perfect guy for this job. It's not quite a noisy bucket, but just bring it through the crowd, and everybody can take just one thing, okay? Thank you. So while Silas is passing out these, you know what these are? I know the kids know what they are. These are called noisemakers. Well, that's kind of a lame noisemaker. This is a broken noisemaker. Yeah, some of these are going to be better. So at least visually, you'll see that I'm celebrating. Wow, I could hum and it'd be louder. But the reason I got all these is I thought today would be a really good day for us just to mark this week in history. You know what happened this week, right? Abortion got struck down in America this week. Come on. Come on. We can celebrate this. And I know there's going to be other stuff coming in states this and states that. I don't care. Because people been praying since 1973 for this to happen that just happened this week. If you're anywhere near my age, you'll know, you'll hear this little question. We used to get asked a lot. So hold on just a second. Where were you when John Kennedy got shot? Or a more modern one now is, where were you when the towers came down? And if you were alive, an adult at those times, even a kid, you know what was going on where you were on that day. Well, this week is the same thing. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you're going to be able to say, I remember when God overturned that through the Supreme Court. Amen? So I don't want to just pass by and we go, okay, that was kind of neat, what's coming up? No, this is a kingdom week to celebrate. So all at once, let's blow as hard. You guys got to cover me. I got the broken one. So especially you kids, you guys got great lung power. 3, 2, 1. Wow, yeah. Woo-hoo, yay! Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just pause right now in eternity, in this moment in eternity, and we give you all the credit, all the glory, all the honor for overturning this law of murder. Lord, I've heard one number said over 60 million people were murdered through abortion. And Lord, now that would be, by now in the time in these 50 years, that would be kids, parents and even grandparents that are not around right now in this nation. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you. We give you all the glory for flipping this over now. And, Father, we pray that going forward, you would help the church to activate, to help give resources to these babies that are going to be around, to these kids that are going to be around, to these families that are now going to have to walk this thing out. So would you help your church to arise, to help, to assist, to strengthen, to make this a victory in every sense of the word. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. All right. Go ahead and be seated. All the kids and the children workers are released. Parents, you're welcome for those toys. I know you really appreciate them. Thanks. Oh, you're welcome. You kids, just keep celebrating. So if you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22? So today I'm going to talk about God's faithfulness. I just thought it was such a great timing. Obviously, we couldn't time what happened with the Supreme Court, but with the Berman family coming back today, I thought it would just be a great Sunday to talk about God's faithfulness. Because God was faithful to this family the whole time they were here. He was faithful to take them over in the middle of our country, prosper them there, and then bless us by bringing them back here so we could hear their testimony and see how God's been faithful to them. And I thought, well, this would be a good Sunday to talk about God's faithfulness. And then God flipped over abortion, and I thought, well, there we go. He just knocked a home run, so now I can just kind of talk about God's faithfulness. Are you guys at Lamentations chapter 3? Now, the first half of this passage, I'm going to read 22, 23, and 24. The first half of this is very familiar. You'll recognize this. It's said often, it's read often, it's on bumper stickers, on bracelets, it's on coffee mugs, it's everywhere. God's mercies are new every morning, right? We've heard that so much. But look at the totality of this, how his mercies are expressed. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Why? Because great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. His mercies are great and new every single morning. But you know what gives that even greater strength? Is the totality of the days as we walk with God. Amen? I mean, as I look around this room, during worship, I was worshiping God and kind of going through my mind about God's faithfulness in your lives. Because I know all these different stories of you guys and in your lives and how God was faithful to you guys. He wasn't just faithful to me or my wife or my daughter or son-in-law or my grandkids. He is faithful to you guys. We could spend the rest of today, we could probably spend the rest of the week, story by story of God's faithfulness to us day in and day out. Amen? I mean, God is awesome. He is tremendous. Do you know, his mercies are new every morning. You know how I know that? As I've been saved 11,323 days. Man, I'm old, huh? but bigger than that, man, is God faithful. Because I needed his mercies to be new to me every single morning of that. 11,323 days, I needed his mercies new to me. How about you guys? Guess what? However long I live, I'm going to need new mercies every single one of those days too. You can count on it. I'm not perfect. I know that surprises some of you. I'm not perfect, and I really don't count on ever being perfect until I meet Jesus in the sky. Amen? The goal is for me to be faithful and to walk in the joy of the Lord. That's what I want to do my whole life. To claim or think or imagine or dream that someday I'll be so together I won't need the Lord's mercies? That's just crazy just saying it, isn't it? So as I was getting ready for this sermon, I was looking at God's faithfulness, not thinking about God's faithfulness. I just couldn't help but just proclaim in every way I can that God is faithful. He's been faithful to you guys too. And you know, just in the short time from this morning when you guys came here and where I'm up here now, I spoke with quite a few of you. Do you know that many of you are hurting right now? Many of you came in today discouraged. A few of you are depressed. Some of you are going through really tough things right now. What I can tell you for sure is God's faithful. No matter what you're going through, God's faithful. No matter what the challenge is, God's faithful. No matter how long it's been going in your life, God is faithful. Do you know right now I've been praying for 11,323 days, some things in my life to happen. I'm still believing because I know God's faithful. You know how I know he's faithful? Because all the different things he's already done in my life of faithfulness. You guys are all trophies of God's faithfulness. If I doubt his faithfulness for me, I could just look at you guys and go, oh, yeah, Alex and Joy. Oh, man, remember when he was going through school and all that crazy and God brought him, and then Joy and man, and then their daughter, and then their other daughter. And, whoa, I can do that for all of you guys. I can exhort myself by thinking about God's faithfulness to each one of you. How about we do it to ourselves and exhort ourselves about God's faithfulness to us? Because the more that we focus on his faithfulness, the more our problems diminish. I didn't say they evaporate and they just go and they're gone. Sometimes we have to fight through things and believe for many years before they're overturned. Abortion. Do you know how faithful God is? Think about this. Abortion was legalized in all of America on January 22nd, 1973. Do you know on that day Christians started praying for what we saw this week? There was Christians that started praying that day that prayed for the rest of their life and died and never seen what we saw. There was Christians that were probably raised by those Christians that prayed their whole lives and died and never saw what we've seen. That's how faithful God is. We can't judge God's faithfulness on the calendar or what we feel or what we see. Because the things we sow in our lives, other people might reap. Maybe a couple of generations down the road, they're going to reap. Come on, grandparents. That's where y'all need to say amen. My grandkids are going to walk in things and see things that my daughter never saw and I never saw. That's what I'm believing for. My daughter's going to see stuff that I never saw. And all of us have seen things and will experience more things that none of my parents seen, that none of my other siblings seen. Because God is so faithful, and he hooked on to me, just like you guys. You know, when we got saved, we didn't find Jesus. When we got saved, God lit us up with revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ. It's not like you're just bumbling down the road and you stumble over something and go, oh, that's Jesus. Okay, I'll put him in my pocket. It's like there ain't nothing like that. Did you get born again? How many people here are born again? Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. God is faithful, and he speaks to us with mercies that are brand new every single day. And that's what the message is today. I want you to know that God is faithful. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you feel like, whatever it seems like, whatever other people are saying, I don't care. God is faithful. His faithfulness stretches from one side of the galaxy to the other, from eternity past to eternity future. And he's got brand new mercies for you today and tomorrow for this whole week. God is so good. Let me go to point two before I just keep beating that horse. God's faithfulness makes me want to tell others about God's faithfulness. Amen? If you want to be a little bit more evangelistic, just remember the good stuff God's done. It's as simple as that. If you want to tell somebody about the goodness of God, remind yourself, what did God do for me? Oh, that's right. He took me from an alcoholic atheist that hated just about everybody, and he cut out my heart of stone, and he gave me a heart of flesh, a brand new heart, and he changed my everything and filled me with his love and gave me a brand new life. How about you guys? Anybody born again in here? This is where you say amen. Me too. Okay, all right. Okay, just want to make sure you're following with me. Some of you here don't know me, but if you talk to me for more than 5 minutes, you know that I love the Lord and that he changed my life. Take you 5 minutes to recognize that about me. Now, some people, that means it takes them 5.5 minutes to want to walk away from me. Other people, they'll start asking questions. Well, what exactly did he do for you? Well, let me just tell you. I was an alcoholic atheist. I had to get blasted every single weekend. And by weekend, I mean 5 days in a row. I'd take a couple days off a week, just kind of recuperate. When I drank, I didn't drink socially. That was a waste of good alcohol. I drank to get blasted, inebriated, period. That's what I did for a couple decades. And then I met God, and his 12-step program was a step. I stepped into the kingdom. I got born again and delivered of all that. I was one of the most racist people you would have ever had the most misfortune of ever meeting. I hated about everybody, honestly, but I really hated anybody of color. And God delivered me that the day I got born again. I got more black friends now than I got white friends. If you don't believe me, check out my Facebook page. You'll see how many friends I got and what color they are. God changes us in an instant because of his great faithfulness. Amen? If you talk to me just 5 minutes, you'll know that I love the Lord and he's changed my everything. And I have great faith in his faithfulness that I ain't seen nothing yet. Now, I know you guys, looking from your direction, seeing me, you see some 61-year-old guy ain't got no hair, getting kind of old, thinking, man, this cat's about run out. But if you could see this from the inside out, you'd see about a 23-year-old getting ready to do something big. Amen? If you're born again, that's where you go, yeah, amen, me too. Age is not a qualifier. College degree is not a qualifier. Experience isn't even a qualifier. Faith in God's faithfulness is the qualifier. It's still all about him. I know he ain't done with me yet. We are going to see great things. Amen. Come on. So number one, you know how I know for sure? Because the Bible says God's faithful. That's for sure how I know God's faithful. It's not because I understood something. It's not even so much as I can remember something. It's not even so much the things that have happened to me. All those are great. The number one reason I know that God's faithful is because his word says he is faithful. I can trust the Bible. Number two reason that I know God's faithful, because the Spirit has told my spirit that he's faithful. When things have happened in my life that I've been praying for, the Holy Spirit will literally say, Mike, this is that. Mike, what you've been praying for and believing for, and you got your wife to pray for, and your friends have joined you and been praying for, and this happened, this is God's faithfulness because he watches over his word to make sure it always accomplishes what he sends out to do. Amen? Man, third thing is I see his faithfulness displayed around me every single day. Every single day. From the littlest things to some of the biggest things. I remember one time we prayed for my dad. He had cancer. And we prayed for him, and he got completely healed of the cancer. Now, he's passed on. He's hopefully up in heaven now. I'm pretty sure he's up in heaven. You know, as a pastor, can I just say, live your life in such a way that the pastor ain't got to guess where you're at when he does your funeral. Amen? So, but we were able to lay hands on him. They were carting him into the surgery room. We laid hands on him, prayed for him. He got healed of cancer. They had already cut a little piece of the cancer out of him. So you can't tell me, well, the test was wrong or the doctor misread. They took a chunk of cancer out of him. They took him in that room. We prayed, took him in that room. They opened him up. This was back in the mid-90s. It was very invasive surgery. They opened him up like you gut a fish, and there was no cancer in there. None. Zero. He lived for about 20 more years, never had cancer ever again. Do I know God's faithful? Yeah, because I've seen some things like that. How about, just Friday night. Friday night we had the movie night here. That was the fourth of four movie nights here. And so the crowd got a little bit bigger, and so people were starting to get to know by name and face. It's really fun. But this Friday was a little different because we had four young cowboys, bicycle cowboys, riding around. You know, like 10-year-old boys, how they ride bikes. They don't care that there's a crowd. They don't care that they might run into one of us old folks and put us in the hospital. They're just riding around that parking lot having a fun time. So I used my bicycle bait, so to speak. I went down the basement, dug out my unicycle. That's why that thing was up there. But I just got that thing so I could talk to these kids, slow them down for a second. It worked. I walked out there with the unicycle, and I stood over here by the tree. And all four of those kids came, stop. What is that thing? Oh, it's a unicycle. So I was able to talk to him, and I brought him in the church a little bit later and showed him around a little bit. Two of those boys have never been in a church in their whole life. When I said, this is our church, one of them said, what's a church? What's a church? So I had to tell him a little bit, well, why do you go to church? Thank you very much for that question. I didn't even have to pay you for it. Well, let me tell you why we go to church. And I was able to explain to him Jesus Christ. First time, maybe all four of them, for sure, it was the first time two of them ever heard about Jesus. Come on. Is God faithful? Yeah, God's faithful. Because we've been praying to have an effect on this neighborhood. Our desire is to be able to share Jesus Christ with every single one of our neighbors and bring them to salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. Man, I was able to do that with a little 10-year-old kid who wanted to talk about unicycles and heard about Jesus. Come on. That's probably one of the biggest kicks I've had this week. And I know abortion, that was a big deal. Supreme Court giving us more gun rights, that's kind of big. But getting to tell a 10-year-old boy what a church is and the reason why we're at church is Jesus Christ was probably the highlight of my week because God's faithful and we've been praying for those kind of things. In Psalm 78, verse 4, this is what the Bible says. We will not hide these things from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Is there anything better, parents, grandparents, is there anything better than having a one-on-one time with your kids and your grandkids and telling them about God's faithfulness? This is what me and your grandma went through one time when we were young. We just got saved. We were believing for this and we were believing for that. And then this happened. And then your mom came to the Lord. And this is what happened. Our grandkids can talk to us and talk to their mom and their dad right now about the great things God's done for them, is doing for them, and will do for them. We have to be sure to tell other generations God's faithfulness. If we're just going to keep it to ourselves, we lose half of the glory. God glorifies his name and glorifies himself in his faithfulness to us. He glorifies himself in his faithfulness to us. We can double that by telling his faithfulness to other people. Or, you think of it this way, we can cut it in half by not telling anyone. Ooh, I want to make my God glorious and famous, don't you? I want to convince people around me that might be wondering, might be waffling a little bit, maybe haven't heard a whole lot. I want to convince them of God's faithfulness because he was so faithful to a jerk like me. A lot of people out there think people in here got this stuff all sorted out and all squared away, and we're all on easy street. We got the car in cruise control. Ah, we know that ain't the truth, don't we? Come on. Is this microphone on? Oh, okay. All right. We don't have it all together. And I think it helps us to tell them that we don't have it all together. And by all together, I'm not saying I'm still getting hammered every week and I'm doing all this. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I still go through struggles that I need God desperately in. That's what I'm saying. I expect that to always be going on because I'm always going to believe God for more. Once we get this whole neighborhood, we're going to go past that. There's a whole Wyoming out here that's broken, that's hopeless, that's discouraged, depressed, expecting bad and more of it. That's the season we live in. We got the antidote. We got the message of joy. We got the message of life. We got the message of Jesus Christ. Psalm 89:1 says this, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. Man, almost makes me want to start singing 500 again. Remember the song 500, you guys? Okay. If you never heard the song 500, there's a woman in the New Testament that sings 500, and I did sing it in two different music types on a given Sunday. I'll leave that there. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I'll make known your faithfulness to all generations. So my daughter and son-in-law are going to hear all about God's faithfulness. My grandkids, they done heard about his faithfulness. They're going to keep hearing about his faithfulness. But guess what? Both my grandkids got their own stories of God's faithfulness now. So they don't just have to sit there and blank look going, oh, man, Gramps, I've heard this 37 times. They can go, oh, yeah, Grandpa. And guess what? This is what happened. I was talking to my friend. Guess what? And this is what happened on football. And this is what happened over here. Yeah. Because God's faithful to all my family. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I hope in him. Do you know, as we recount his faithfulness to us, as we think about his generational faithfulness to us, our hope goes up. Do you know what depression is? Depression is the vacuum without hope. Depression is a condition where you have no hope for anything improving. I know. I struggled with depression for years. It's like, this is horrible. It's never going to change. And every thought in your head is painted with this dark brush of it's just going to keep getting worse. We've got the antidote to that. God's faithfulness to us already, currently, and in the future is the antidote to depression. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, therefore I hope in him. The last thing I want to talk about God's faithfulness today is, well, his faithfulness. I tried to describe it a couple of different ways. I've tried to apply it a couple of different ways. Now I just want to talk about how faithful God is. God is so faithful. He's so amazingly faithful. Roe versus Wade. 1973, people start praying. And this week it was answered. Generations. Think of all the churches. over all the years, over this whole nation, and I imagine worldwide, that was praying for this thing just to happen. Do you think this is just a big thing in the States? Don't you realize that every Christian worldwide is celebrating what our Supreme Court did this week? A lot of the world, good or bad, a lot of the world focuses on America and imitates us. If you don't believe me, go to Africa sometime and look at their worship music. It's everything that's here. Almost all the worship in any African church I've been in is stuff they canned from America and they apply over there. So now when America, we've prayed through something with their help, and we've got abortion overturned here, don't you think that gives them great hope for their nations to get that made illegal as it should be? Man, God is so faithful. Do you know how long this has been going on for God to flip abortion? Because I know all of us, we can get attacked by the devil, and the devil will say this: God's probably not going to change this thing that you've been praying for because it keeps going on longer and longer and longer. How long have you been praying for your son? Give me a break. You've been praying for 14 years. Nothing's changed. Oh, you've been praying for 24 years. Oh, you've been praying for 34 years. And even his kids don't love God now. Give it up. It's not going to change. Do you know the longer it goes, the more faithful God is? I was 13. Me. I was 13. When people start asking God to change Roe versus Wade, it's changed. How long have you been praying for something to change in you or your family or around you or something? How long? I bet you haven't been praying 50 years. Well, maybe a few of you have. But most of us haven't been praying 50 years. God is faithful. God is faithful. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep chopping. You remember this from a couple weeks ago? The Bible says if we keep knocking, he will answer. If we keep seeking, we will find. If we keep looking, we'll find it. Come on. It took 50 years. It would have been 50 years this January that abortion was legal. It took almost 50 years, but God is faithful. God is so faithful. Believers were praying their whole lives and never saw the day that we saw. And they never gave up. Do you know every single believer in the Old Testament is kind of like that? Whether they were prophets, whether they were kings, doesn't matter. All of them lived their whole lives in a promised Messiah. Many of them came and went. Many of them, generation. Thousands of years went by while they believed in a promised Messiah, of which we know. We know Jesus personally. Literally, we know Jesus personally. And if someone asks us, well, what's this Jesus guy? Well, he used to be a carpenter. He was raised by a carpenter. His stepdad was a carpenter. His mom's name was Mary. I can tell you where he lived. I can tell you where he went and lived for a little while. Then he came back. I can tell you some of the miracles. I can tell you the people he hung out with. I can tell you 12 guys he discipled. I can name them for you. That's how personal my Savior is. All the folk in the Old Testament prayed believing in a promise. How much better do we have it, folks? God is so faithful. This is the day of God's faithfulness, folks. This is it. Man, sometimes we have to trust God knowing we might not see the final outcome. Newhall, we're starting to change this neighborhood. We might not see the final total change. That might not happen in our lives. Are we still willing to invest? Yes. As though it will. Yes. Because the challenge is, God, I know you're faithful, and I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to give my very best to see you do this here. Whether I see it, or my grandson sees it, or his son sees it, I'm going to do my very best. Or the challenge is, I don't see much changing, so I'm with you. I'm for you. I might even give some money to it. But I really don't think it's going to happen in the next 15, 20 years, so good luck. There's a challenge to not let that attitude get on us, right? I want to give God my best so that I can see him move in my life and in your lives and in their lives. There's going to be a day, I'll guarantee you, there's going to be a day when this is a Christian neighborhood. Right now, they point at this building and go, well, that's a Christian church. Yeah, it is. Amen. Praise God. But someday they're going to go, no, this is a Christian neighborhood because of the people in that church, in that big old building. These people had a love for their neighbors and a love for God, and they knew he was faithful. And they wouldn't let go until they saw the change. I can't wait. I can't wait. My whole point is our trust and faith can't be in the amount of time we've waited or how many times we've prayed. Our trust and faith is in God and his faithfulness. So if you've been praying for a person or a situation for a long time, I'll bet most of us got a loved one that we're praying for that has a bad case of the stupids, and we're just praying for them, for God to get a hold of them, for them to give their lives to the Lord and get a fresh restart and to know Jesus like we know Jesus. How many of us are praying for a loved one? Let's see. Just about all of us. Come on. Let's hit a reset button today. Let's just hit that reset button. Today I start fresh, believing in God's faithfulness for you fill in the blank for that person. Because our trust and faith and hope has got to always be in God. Time doesn't diminish it. Time magnifies it. Because God never loses one of our prayers. God is so faithful. He saves every single one of our prayers. The Bible says so. That's how I know. Not making this up. He keeps track of every single one of our prayers. Holds on to it. Holds on to every one of our tears that fall when we're praying for people. He knows how many. We've done forgot how many times we've been praying. God knows. And it's all adding up until finally we're going to get the breakthrough. And just like Roe versus Wade got overturned, our loved ones are going to come to the Lord. We're going to see breakthrough. We're going to see freedom in their lives. We're going to see wholeness in their lives. It's coming. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, therefore I hope in him. Man, our God is so good. Let's turn to Psalm 89:30, and I'm going to start drawing this to a close. We've joked about it for so many years, it's really not even a joke anymore. It's just a statement. But the Burmans have such a big family, they fill a row all by themselves. Well, almost two rows today. And then they've got a lot of friends here to celebrate them being in town. So for those of us that you come here to Newhall Christian Fellowship, you're here every single Sunday, let's just take a second, look around. Don't be embarrassed. Just kind of look around. See how many people are here. I'm going to prophesy that this is going to be our number a year from now. This will be a normal Sunday a year from now. Amen? This is a normal Sunday a year from now. God's letting us see these numbers, so our faith will go up in him. So Psalm 89, verse 30. This passage, I want to share this with you today, of God's faithfulness, especially to parents and to grandparents. Because, for years I've met people, I've talked to parents, and I've talked to grandparents that they're praying for their kids. Maybe they were raised in church, and then they walked away from the Lord, or just decide they didn't want to do that life, and they're out here, out there, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, raising their kids, now grandkids, that are out of the Lord. And so I just want to point out this passage so that your faith won't be in whether, you know, you're looking at Johnny, you're praying for him. Is he going towards God? He's really not. Oh, he's still a long way from God. Don't think like that. I want to encourage you today. Put your faith in God and his faithfulness. Psalm 89, verse 30. If our kids forsake God's law, I'm just kind of changing a few words around. You can read your words so you can see exactly what the Bible says. I'm just going to put some of my phraseology in there. If our kids forsake God's law and do not walk in his judgments, if they break his statutes and do not keep his commandments, then he will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Verse 33. Nevertheless, God says, nevertheless, my loving kindness, I will not utterly take from him or her, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. Come on. Now, we all know there's consequences to choices. Lord knows I've made some really stupid choices. Oh, by the way, and I say maybe you have loved ones that got a bad case of stupids. I'll compare my chronic case of stupids with theirs any day, and I'll guarantee you they're going to sound like super geniuses compared to what I've done in the past. Nevertheless, even though there's consequences, you can't throw a rock up in the air, step underneath and go, well, I don't believe in gravity. That rock's going to hit you in the head no matter what you believe in. We can't say, well, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in these things, and then live any old way we want and not suffer consequences. It happens. Nevertheless, I love how God says, nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. We can trust God, even though these people we love are making dumb choices, maybe going through some tough stuff, that's the consequence of bad choices, bad things happen. Even though they're going through that, we can trust God, because his loving kindness is still at work, his faithfulness is still at work. We can trust God. That even though what we're seeing, we don't like it, God, I know you're faithful. You're going to bring them through this. You're going to bring them out of this. You're going to bring them back to you, and you're going to answer the prayers that I'm praying. And that's the number one thing, that they will give their lives to you and know who you are in your goodness and in your faithfulness to them. Amen? Man, today we celebrate Burmans, God's faithfulness to their family. Today we celebrate with Christians worldwide about what the Supreme Court ruled just this week. Today we celebrate with generations of Christians of God's faithfulness to us as a nation, God's faithfulness to his families and individuals and churches. Today's a day of celebrating God's faithfulness. And I just want to close it with this. If there's anyone here that would like some prayer, anyone at all needs some prayer, just needs some encouragement, I'd love to pray with you. I'll lay hands on you. I'll pray for you. And if you have a person that you want to pray for, come on up. You don't have to say it loud enough for the church here, but you just give me a name, and the two of us will agree in Jesus' name for something major to happen in that person's life, and we'll believe for something amazing. Amen? Is there anyone here today that's never met Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Is there anyone here today thinking, you know, I heard him talking about getting born again and them raising their hands about being born again, how he used to be that and he used to be this and all that, and you don't know what I'm talking about? The simple truth is this. This is the gospel. Because God chose to love people so much, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Almighty, who came down to earth and lived as a regular person, challenged and tested in every single way as us. He lived till he was about 30 or 33 years old, a perfect, sinless life, so that he could do one thing. One thing. So that he could go and die on the cross to pay the penalty for sin. Because I definitely have sinned in my life, and somebody had to pay. The Bible says every single person has sinned. And if you don't allow Jesus Christ to pay that penalty, then you're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to have to be judged for all your sins. One of two things happens to every single human being. We're different from every rock, every plant, a chimpanzee, a dog. We're different. We all know it. We have bodies, we have souls, but we also have spirits. And when we die, that spirit's going somewhere. For sure. That spirit's either going to die and go to hell if you didn't know Christ and accept forgiveness, or if you did know Jesus Christ, because God told you you could be forgiven and you accepted the forgiveness and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, then you're going to live forever in heaven. All your sins forgiven. Almost as good as that is what you've heard me talk about today. Because once I got born again, I got set free of alcoholism. I got set free of all my hate. My life was horrible. I was into drugs, alcohol, you name it. I was in it, I'd done it. The moment I got saved, I got set free of that stuff. The power of God unto salvation entered my life and changed my everything. And I want to encourage you, if there's no one here today that's ever accepted the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand? I'll lead you in a prayer that'll change your everything. It'll literally change your everything today. Anyone at all? Well, if you change your mind, I know we have some visitors here today. If you change your mind before you leave, could you please come and talk to me? Just me and you will pray, and I'll introduce you to the King of Kings. Amen? Let me pray for all of you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word today. It's awesome. The whole Bible is awesome. But Father, I don't really enjoy anything as much as just being able to brag on you and your faithfulness to your people. I'm just one of them, Lord. I've seen you do so many things inside of me and through me and around me. I've seen you do so many things in my wife, in our marriage, in our home, in our family, for my daughter, my son-in-law, from all my grandkids. Lord, I've just seen your faithfulness so many times. I've seen your faithfulness in this church, in families, in marriages, in single people's lives. I've seen you do amazing things in finance. I've seen you do amazing things in health. I've seen you fix people and make them whole in their emotions. I've seen you do so many things, Lord. I'm so privileged to have the front seat of where people meet you for the biggest things in their lives. It's a privilege and an honor to me, and I thank you and praise you. Father, I pray for every single person that's here today, every man, woman, and child that's here or downstairs, and I pray, Lord, that they would know you even more than I do, that they would understand you, that they would believe your word, that they would know and recognize your presence inside them. And Father, I pray for breakthrough today on God's Faithfulness Sunday, so to speak. Father, I pray for breakthrough, that your faithfulness would change the biggest situations, the things that we're all praying for, that your faithfulness would break through today and give them answered prayer. Again, Lord, I thank you for overturning the law of murder in this land. You've changed us eternally with that, and I thank you and praise you for that. Lord, I pray for that same faithfulness now to touch every single person, every single marriage, every single home, every single family in this place today. I give you all the credit, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. Lois, would you like to come up and give us a little bit of direction of what's going to happen now? After Lois gives us direction, I'm just going to hang around up here, and if you want prayer, come on up after she gets done, and I'd love to pray with you.
Okay, you'll head out when it's time to eat. You'll head out that door, go around the post, and then we'll have two lines going that way. If you have a salad to get out or anything to get out of the refrigerator, go do that right now. We'll let you go. Okay? So we welcome everybody. There's chicken, cheesy potatoes, macaroni and cheese are the main, and then there's a bunch of salads and desserts, okay? So give us about 10 minutes to get the cheesy potatoes and mac and cheese into the spot. It shouldn't even be 10 minutes, so, okay? Okay, so just visit.
Thank you, Lois. Brad, can you put on some background music, please? Just play it low, and then just feel free to talk or get up, mingle around, do whatever you guys got to do. And again, if you want some prayer, come on up. I'd love to pray with you.